This time on Matters. We're back. I accidentally erased us recording this. And Eric's here too. All this and more on this episode of Matters.
His name is Matt. His name is Matt. And that's all that matters. Yeah. Welcome to Matters, where two guys named Matt talk about what matters to them. I'm Matt Noss. With me is Matt Rose. How are you doing, Matty?
I'm fine, Matt. How are you?
I'm doing quite well myself. Joining us behind the wheels of steel, everything technical, and also today's guest, Eric Hanke.
Yay. Hey, guys.
Hey, man. How are you?
Well, I've just been, you know.
You've been living a He-Man free life for quite a little while.
Yeah, you took the right path, man.
Let's get into it.
So we, this year, I want to say somewhere around, we did 30 episodes of Matters of the Universe.
This past year.
In last year, that we just ended on January 1st.
Okay.
So that means that if there's 52 weeks in the year, we made it to about June, where we were doing Matters.
Okay.
Just the format that we're...
Sounds right.
That we're heading back into. Uh-huh. We co-opted Matters of the Universe, and Matt and I were like, all right, we're doing it. We're in. We did this backdoor pilot, but for some reason, we opened our yams and said, we're going to watch all these episodes. And then I got the feeling that no one checked with you.
With me? No, I thought it was a cool idea.
Okay.
So
until
I thought it was
a
cool idea. Yeah, exactly.
I realized how short my life is.
I didn't.
Exactly.
And what else?
I never looked in to see how many episodes there actually were.
Right.
Oh, there's more than are on Netflix. That's the scariest part.
Wow.
So we straight up quit. Like, I don't know if we told you that. So.
I saw Matt a couple days ago, and he had mentioned it, and I went, oh, wow, cool. All right. I see. I understand.
Yeah. Well, what it turned into is we weren't having fun.
No.
And why on earth would we do this if we're not having fun?
Mm-hmm.
And then it became like, we're not the worst idea of all time. Like, I don't think we're going to build buzz. Like, it's not stupid enough.
Right.
In a way, like it's just pointless.
Right.
And if it's pointless, then it should be at least the most fun that we could have together.
Right.
Or else, why on earth? And then I remember you watching a show or two and just being like, ah.
Yeah.
Oh. And I invited you a few times, but I got that feeling like, good.
I was good.
Yeah, and when we kind of came to the decision that we were going to kind of shake off the Matters of the Universe title, and we watched one episode with Jen Hansen, and she was like, oh, no, don't even do the episodes you said you were going to do for the rest of the year. You just stop it now.
She
this
was
is
like,
bad for you guys.
Quit. Yeah. Quit. This is negative for your health, negative for...
Like, I noticed a change in you guys, but I didn't want to say anything.
Like, I didn't know what it was.
I enjoyed checking in on Facebook Live occasionally, seeing the spread.
Facebook Live was probably the most fun that we had with
that
it.
That was fun.
Doing the characters was the most fun.
Mm-hmm.
Doing Orko and...
Skeletor and Man-at-Arms.
And Man-at-Arms. My Skeletor has morphed into something that is unrecognizable. It is not Skeletor. I don't know what it is.
Mm.
But it's fabulous.
And Duncan.
Oh, it's fabulous.
Duncan just kind of transformed into Archie Bunker.
Southie.
Like, yeah, a Southie Archie Bunker.
So I just feel like part of me is like, I'm sorry, Eric?
I'm the one who's sorry because I'm the one who came up with that boneheaded idea.
Listen,
oof.
I like the idea. I did. And you don't have to apologize to me. I had other shit I had to be doing and stuff, and it's no skin off my back, it was no skin off your back, you know,
right,
for me to kind of step away. So I I think maybe if you'd have chose Cop Rock, you'd have done a little better.
You mean with the commish?
I think they... Was he in that?
I think he was.
I think I was just watching the night. Would it have been the 90s on CNN? Was that 90s? Or
yeah.
90s? One of them. They were back
totally
to back.
Was 90s because...
They only had like four
because
episodes.
Because Botch Code mm-hmm. was doing so
That's
well
right.
with NYPD Blue that they were like, whatever you want, Steven.
Yeah.
He was like,
wasn't it before NYPD Blue?
Ooh.
I think it was before NYPD Blue, but after Hill Street Blues.
It was definitely after Hill Street Blues.
Yeah.
1,000,000%.
Well, people were like, we want that Botchko magic. Uh-huh. And then he's like, I'd like to do a musical about cops. And they were like, sure, whatever.
Oh, shit. I think you are right, because I think Parker Lewis Can't Lose had a lot of Cop Rock references.
Really?
Yeah.
Deanne watched it.
She watched Cop Rock?
She sure did. Yeah. She's a...
She likes musicals?
Oh, yeah. That's how we met.
First episode, September 26, 1990.
Yeah, so that would have been way before NYPD Blue. NYPD Blue, I think, was 94.
Just be careful out there. That's the only part I remember from Cop Rock.
Yeah, that show was something else.
Yeah. No, I saw some of the clips during the CNN, apparently 90s show, and... There wasn't a lot, like if those were the best samples of it.
Right.
It was terrible.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think they underestimated everything about it.
Mm-hmm.
How difficult it is to write a musical. How difficult it is to make a musical believable. Like for every one Hamilton, there's 500 musicals that are just
garbage.
Plain awful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And like... Well, Not for lack of work.
It's kind of hard to make a musical gritty, too, right? And when you think of cop shows, aside from Barney Miller, you tend to think of gritty, right?
Right, but it's really difficult to be gritty when you're like...
Prancing around.
This is a crime scene. Do-do-do. Oh, God. Look out for the body bags.
And it sounds like you're exaggerating.
But you're not.
But from what I saw, you're not. Right, that was terrible.
Who's got the perp? Who's got the perp? Look out for that guy. He's no good. He's a perp. Like, what? I'm making up the musical now. But
I don't know, man.
Me and Botchko got to talk.
Yeah.
Cop Rock 2.
Reboot.
Well, it's like Glee did it... write for a long-term musical show because they were like, we can just cover stuff forever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Instead of like having to focus on original songs.
Right.
And they might have had one or two. I don't know, but
I don't know.
I never watched an episode.
I did.
I watched the first season.
Because it was a phenomenon.
It was a super popular show. It was kind of funny. And I like Jane Lynch, so it was
she's great.
Yeah, when Jane Lynch is just sitting there being a bitch the whole time, it's kind of funny. But then I started to get more annoyed with the characters than I could tolerate. And it pulled a good time
where they got away from the adults and they were like, oh, yeah, everybody likes kids.
Yeah, it's kind of like when The Simpsons started to change from... focusing on the family unit to Bart because Bart was the breakout. And then as soon as they started focusing more to Homer, the show became hilarious in what you and I consider the heyday of The Simpsons, because now there was a more of a balance. Like it didn't focus solely on Homer, mm-hmm. but the focus shifted from Bart to other characters. And that's where we get episodes like Homer Goes to College, Krusty Gets Canceled, Rosebud, Marge versus the Monorail, where, as you can see in the names that I picked, there's actually other characters' names instead of like Bart Goes to Prison or,
all right,
you know, Bart in the Future or some shit. And or when Lisa like wins Little Miss Springfield. Oh, God, I love that one. I could talk about season 4 and season 5 of The Simpsons all day long. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about.
We're just catching up.
Yeah.
I would call it, I would label this episode, now let me write this down, catching up.
You are literally writing that down, too.
Oh, yeah. This is super important.
You're a regular Pete Holmes over there.
He's the funniest with, like, what he writes down. He'll be in, like, this super deep conversation, and when he's not mentioning Ram Dass, he'll be like, oh, that's good. I'm going to write that down. Pepsi clear. You know? That's what you're writing down.
Right.
You just had this huge connection with this person. It's like, oh, great. Yep. Liquid Tide.
Did you guys like Pepsi clear?
Or Crystal Pepsi?
Or yeah, Crystal Pepsi. Sorry.
I had it once, and I know that they just brought it back for a nostalgia run.
Mm-hmm.
I did not pick any up.
I actually liked Crystal Pepsi.
It tasted like Sprite-ish.
It wasn't just like you were drinking like Pepsi, but it didn't have the caramel coloring. Mm-hmm. It tasted different, but I liked it.
I never tried it.
It wasn't bad. I mean, you know, I'm not crying that it's gone or that it's only in limited release. If I saw it, if anything, you're right, I would get it just for the bottle.
Right, exactly.
Because that's my life. I get things where I'm like, I don't really care about that, but I'm going to get it because I like the shape of the bottle.
I need Crystal Pepsi's logo for the rest of my life to be right there.
I remember SNL had a parody.
Crystal Gravy.
Yeah.
And they were playing Right Now.
Yeah, the Van Halen song, yeah.
It just looked like KY jelly.
Oh, God, it was so gross.
Yeah. It was pretty gross.
Speaking of Van Halen.
Thank God, I thought you were going to say KY jelly.
Speaking of KY jelly, let me tell you.
No, Van Halen.
No, it was about Frankenstein with De Niro. That scene where he's getting birthed, that is just a big tub of KY jelly.
Oh, yeah, it really was.
So we're expecting. Mm-hmm. And it's February 22nd that the baby is due. That's the due date. So basically, February 1st is pretty much go time because it mm-hmm. Because we would be at 36 weeks, I think, at that point.
Sure.
So you'll have your bags packed and all that.
Yeah. So I already told Catherine, I was like, January 15th, we're packing the bags.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like, it's odd, but like a lot of her friends pushed it off.
Really?
Like, last minuted it, like we're packing it during the first initial labor type thing.
Right. Oh, man.
And I'm like, Catherine, let's just get it done.
Sure.
Because we'll buy new clothes for it, whatever you want to do, whatever makes your mind relax the most.
Mm-hmm.
She's like, okay. So the 15th, we're going to pack up. But during the Christmas preparation of the house, we woke up on the Saturday before Christmas Eve, so the 23rd, and it was like one of those things where the in-laws, everybody's coming into town that day,
mm-hmm.
and it was like, all right, we need to go to Whole Foods, and we have to go to Costco, and if we don't go first thing in the morning, you know, it's game over.
Sure.
Like, right. You're going to spend right. 7 hours at these stores.
Right.
So we wake up at 7:30, and for some reason, I had to hear "Dance the Night Away" by Van Halen. Like, I just woke up with that "Ooh, baby, baby" in my head,
mm-hmm.
and I had to hear the song. So I play the song, and Catherine's like, "Ooh, that's a good song. We should play that in the car." So we play it in the car. The baby starts going nuts.
Well, sure.
So the baby loves Van Halen.
So I'm glad to hear that the baby enjoys real Van Halen and not Van Hagar.
Exactly.
Because if it was Van Hagar, I'd have a problem with the baby.
Right. Oh, yeah. If my baby threw up a Mas Tequila.
Oh, my God. Well, that's a Hagar, not a Van
Right.
Halen,
but I mean, but if she loved the Red Rocker, I'd be like, baby, what are you doing? What you do? Your dad's going to help you with everything?
If that baby threw up the horns at like Pound Cake,
oh.
Like, no thanks, baby. No
Play
thanks.
Right now again. No.
How about 5150? That is enough out of you, baby.
Oh, you ate one too.
Just no.
No, it's 1984, Van Halen 1 and Van Halen 2. That is...
Well, I think there was more than that, wasn't there?
That's just peak Halen. That is...
Okay, all right.
I don't know. Love Comes Walking In. Anybody?
What's Love Comes Walking In?
Was that a Van Hagar?
Yeah,
You're dead to me.
It would have been 5150. That was the first, 5150 was the first one, right?
Yeah,
5150 was the first Van Hagar.
I kind of like that one. Love Comes Walking In. Mm. No?
I mean, I used to like what was it? What was it? Summertime, I think, was...
Ooh.
Was I tried to learn that. In my younger days, I did like Van Hagar. But just as I step back as an adult and kind of compare Van Halen to Van Hagar or Van Sharon, which is even worse, I think my face made that
just
comment because you two could see my face when I said Van Sharon.
I wasn't even looking at you. It was the way you said Van Sharon. It was like, oh, no.
But yeah, just. You listen to like Van Halen 1, that was lightning in a bottle.
Mm-hmm.
Van Halen 2, not quite lightning in a bottle, but at the very least, like static discharge in a bottle. and 1984 that was the point where you go out on top.
Van Halen 2 is so top heavy with hits that it crushes the second half of that album.
Yeah.
Like the first five
songs.
They should
have spread them out a little more.
The first five songs on Van Halen 2 were just like, all right. Classics.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then it's like, and then these songs.
The filler, right? The B-sides, mm-hmm. right? Yeah. So I did like a bunch of songs on 5150 or OU812 or whatever the fuck it was.
No, it was 5150. You liked
And I tried to learn them and I got really frustrated because they were difficult because it's Eddie Van Halen. And then I gave up and I tried to learn things that were easier because I went from like learning Randy Rhoads, which was Ozzy Osbourne's original guitarist when he went solo, to, you know, Van Halen and trying to learn, I mean, basically the hardest stuff I could learn until I learned that there was harder stuff out there. And that's when I was just like, not a very good guitarist. I'm not as good as I thought I was. I feel like Bart when he went on the subway in New York and he licked the handrail and he was like, I'm out of my league. I thought it was good. It wasn't.
Yeah. All right. You're right. Van Halen 2, a little sparse. Dance in the Eye of the Way. Track 2.
Isn't a Pretty Woman on Van Halen 2?
Nope.
Was that on Dr.
Beautiful
Brown?
Girls is.
Oh, well, Beautiful Girls is a great song though.
Yep.
I can't hear that without thinking about that Saturday Night Live skit.
Schmitzke.
Oh yeah.
What?
Yeah.
Is that Farley and Sanders?
Yeah, Farley and Sanders. And a coworker at my last job, I forget what we were in a conversation and we were using Microsoft Teams, which is like Slack. And one of us, I don't remember who, put a clip in one of our conversations where it's Farley grabbing the camera from Sandler and pulling it one way where it's like whoop. And you know, it's just a bunch of guys like walking around in Speedos or whatever. Just that clip was, it's like a second and a half, but like I just got endless enjoyment out of that clip. And oh man, just
that's good stuff.
If you have never seen that clip, just go on YouTube and watch it. It's very funny.
Wow. So I knew that Women and Children First was Van Halen, Fair Warning, but I didn't remember Diver Down, and then in 1984. And I've not, like, the only song off of Women and Children First is Everybody Wants Some.
To be fair, though, whenever I see Lightning, I think of that song, but that's not because of the song. It's because of Better Off Dead. Or when I think about like hamburgers getting up and walking around on their own, definitely think of that song. But
Pretty Woman is off of Diver Down.
Diver Down, okay.
And then you get to 1984. And here's
Hot
the
for
hits.
Teacher, Panama, Jump.
Yep. Yep. So it starts 1984. Don't know that song. Jump, Panama, Top Jimmy, Drop Dead Legs, Hot for Teacher, I'll Wait, Girl Gone Bad, House of Pain. I knew four of those. We never had it. Like, we never had it.
Right.
But my baby loves the healing is all the healing.
Sure.
That baby be needing.
Eat Him and Smile. Remember that? You remember that? That was, wasn't that David Lee Roth's first?
Yes. Oh,
wait. It wasn't his first because California Girls wasn't on Eat 'Em and Smile.
No, it was, was Yankee it like Rose a... was.
Shit, you're right.
Or at least I'm pretty sure.
Wait, Just a Gigolo was on Eat 'Em and Smile, I think.
I thought it was on. I don't. Matt will let us know shortly.
Yep.
In the meantime. This break was brought to you by Wow Mediterranean and their guys. Hummus. Mm. Delicious.
Did you guys see, I just saw it a couple of weeks ago. Somebody had shared a clip of David, it was Van Halen with David Lee Roth. It must have been.
You're going to say Van Halen because that's what Van Halen is.
Van Roth. maybe 2015 on Jimmy Kimmel Live.
I did not see it.
Yes.
Have you seen this?
Yes, it is.
David Lee Roth busts his face with the
yes.
He's got a like a metal staff, and it's just like cell phone video. It's pretty good though. Guys in the front row, and it was Panama, I think. Mm-hmm. They come out and they're like, hey, everybody, you know, And David Lee Roth starts doing his kung fu shit with this the staff.
Was it the mic stand or a staff?
The mic staff.
Yeah. But it wasn't like a Freddie Mercury kind of deal.
No,
yeah.
Like it's the Diamond Dave bandana staff.
Yeah.
So he's doing all his twirling stuff, and they start up, and he starts to realize, you can tell he starts to realize that he's bleeding because he'd hit himself in the face.
Oh, jeez.
He broke his nose. Then it goes like off stage and starts like, so it was in the middle of Panama. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, Eddie's just like riffing and it's great. And he's like, and he kind of apologizes like, hey, I got to go get this checked out. I think I broke my nose.
Well, he was a paramedic for a while. So I would imagine that
he fixed himself up.
Yeah. I would imagine that he just asked someone for tampons
just
and then
grabbed his
up.
Nose, put it back in place. Two tampons up the old nostril.
Yeah. Right?
Diamond
if
Dylan,
you've,
like.
If you've
well,
never...
actually, it was one going through them.
Because that's all he needed.
Okay. Did you ever watch Death Clock?
No.
Or Metalocalypse? They had a character called Dr. Roxo, the rock and roll clown. And it was 1,000,000% David Lee Roth.
Nice.
And it would be like, I'm Dr. Roxo, the rock and roll clown. Cocaine. And like his song was like, one of them was like, Dare Dobie McQueen, and she's only 14. but yes, Eat 'Em and Smile was the first David Lee Roth, but he must have put out the California Girls and the Just a Gigolo as a single. Because it's not on Eat 'Em and Smile. The only one that's here is Yankee Rose.
And that was on Eat 'Em and Smile?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's like, That's Life, Bump and Grind, Big Trouble, Elephant
Gun. That's Life, that's right. Okay.
Elephant Gun, Tobacco Road, Going Crazy, Ladies Night in Buffalo?
Going Crazy.
What?
I'm Easy, Shy Boy, Yankee Rose. And then Skyscraper was a second one, and I don't know a single song off of this. Knucklebones, Just Like Paradise, The Bottom Line, Skyscraper, Damn Good, Hot Dog in a Shake.
What?
Stand Up, Hyena, Perfect Timing, Two Fools, A Minute.
Yeah, I will admit I don't know any of them. And I think that David Lee Roth overestimated how much people wanted David, like how much they wanted him on his own versus they wanted him fronting Van Halen. Because if you have David Lee Roth, but you don't have the counterbalances of Eddie Van Halen, Alex Van Halen, and Michael Anthony.
Michael Anthony,
unsung hero.
Yeah.
The backup vocals of Michael Anthony was a glue that held that band together.
Also, he was a good bassist.
He was a steady, they were a rock solid rhythm section.
Yep.
Hard to believe, they're basically a three piece.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Unbelievable. All right. Van Halen fucking won. Running with the Devil.
Hold on. Wait. Sorry. What? You're missing Van Halen won. You're missing the first song.
What was the first song?
Eruption.
I have it as track two.
What?
I've Running with the Devil.
Oh man, not on the CD that I had. Eruption was first, and
then Running with the Devil.
Yeah, I thought it. I could swear it was. Anyway,
the Devil, Eruption. You really got me. Ain't Talking About Love. I'm the One. Jamie's Crying. Atomic Punk. Feel Your Love Tonight. Little Dreamer. Ice Cream Man. On Fire. There's only like three songs I couldn't hum right now. I don't know Feel Your Love Tonight, Little Dreamer, or On Fire.
I feel like those three songs would be bumper music for Drew and Mike, though, no matter what, though. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like you a lot of those songs, you can like, still tell they them. Were Van Halen.
Yeah,
but...
yeah, yeah.
But like, I know. Well, here's the funny thing about this record. It was produced by the guy who produced all of Steely Dan. Oh, he produced.
Oh, right. Because of Yacht Rock.
Because of Yacht Rock. And it's a true story. The Doobie Brothers. He was the producer for the Doobie Brothers.
Oh.
And he ended up producing this record. And in Yacht Rock, the big thing during I'm the One, there's that breakdown that's like,
I know exactly what you're talking about.
So in the show, David Lee Roth cast a spell on Ted Templeman, the producer, that whenever he heard smooth music, he would get sick until he produced the Van Halen record. So he's producing the Doobie Brothers, and here's Michael McDonald being like, Echoes of Love. Like, he's like, all he hears is Running with the Devil, and he started like freak out. He loses his mind. So like he agrees to produce it, and they're doing I'm the One. And then Michael McDonald walks into the studio, and he's like, there's a pot on the switchboard that just says smooth, and he cranks it all the way up. And they're like, ba-boo-da, ba-ba-doo-doo. And McDonald goes, hey, Ted, pretty smooth. And then they walk out the door, and he lowers it. Oh, so amazing. Huh. Okay. We'll be back with more matters after this.
All right.
Boop. Welcome back to Matters. We've reached the part of the show where we talk about what we're into at the moment. Besides Van Halen, which I'm super into, I just watched the first half of the new Chappelle special.
Oh, yeah?
Equanimity, I believe it is. And I really am liking it.
I watched both this weekend.
How did you like them?
The first one's better than the second one. The second one goes into some uncomfortable places.
Okay. I saw somebody else say that the second was better. I'm not questioning you.
The first one was a lot more of what you'd expect from Chappelle.
Polished.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
It seemed like he put the second one together. It was just like him working out material in a club.
It felt that way a lot more, but I've seen a few things on the second one being a little tone deaf, and I can definitely see what they're saying. Yeah, I liked the first a lot more than the
second. Yeah, I'm watching the first one.
Yeah. Definitely.
I'll watch them both.
Yeah. I was going to say, definitely don't not watch it because of what I said. I'd like to hear what your opinion is.
Mm-hmm.
But the second one was a bit more difficult for me to get through.
All right. So that is what I'm watching right now. I did finally see the new Star Wars.
And you liked it.
And I liked it. I liked it a lot. I thought it was great.
So did I. I loved it. I saw it twice. Jen Hansen saw it three times. I don't... And I mean, I...
Eric, you've seen it?
I've seen it. I saw it twice. I enjoyed it very much.
Okay.
I talked to Phil, our friend Phil, who's a huge Star Wars fan. And he, while he doesn't necessarily agree with the critics of the movie, I asked what the problem was that people had with it.
Yeah.
Because there's no reason why the audience scores should be that low for a movie that I haven't talked to anybody who disliked it.
Mm-hmm.
And he brought up a couple things where it was like, man, people really are just so spoiled now, you know, where they get a Star Wars movie a year and it's, oh, well, I didn't like these five things, so the movie sucked. Like, God, you're the worst.
Right.
Like the people who didn't like Blade Runner or the people who didn't like, God, I'm trying to think of some of the other movies recently where people were crying about this or that. And it was,
if you didn't like Thor and Ragnarok, you don't like fun.
Did you see it?
We saw it.
Yeah,
it was,
we saw it.
Super,
it was
fun.
Pile of fun.
It was
good. Yeah,
it was good.
I agree.
Yeah, no, I really liked it. I could see an argument for they made Luke too dark. I could see somebody not liking it because they've attached a lot of their identity to Luke being a hero character.
And yeah, but without that end, that ending.
Yep, without spoiling anything, like, it does exactly what it needs to do.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was perfect. I thought, like, if he basically did what all the Jedi do.
Right.
Is like, oh no, my student went awry. See you later, world. I've read a lot of like really, really good reviews and a lot of people who have been like, nope, this is great. And then one of my friends online was just like, the writing's terrible, the pacing's terrible, it's awful, it's the worst. Like, all right, well, you just don't like it then. And you know, like, cool, that's...
I thought the writing was decent for a Star Wars movie. I thought the pacing had a 15-minute clunky bit.
I felt the whole... he's not Poe. He's the...
Finn.
The Finn character storyline was rough.
Exactly. And
a lot of people hated the Finn Rose side story.
And that was
my personally
deal.
Didn't.
Not spoilery, because it's not. But their kind of side adventure, what I got nervous in that side adventure is it started to aesthetically smell a little like prequels to me.
I would agree.
Compared to in The Force Awakens, when they went to Maz's castle bar joint, you know.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and almost
was
everything
all
was
practical
effects.
Exactly. It was all practical effects, and that didn't carry through to that little jaunt with Finn and Rose.
It would have been hard to have practical effects for some of those characters.
True. True.
The one practical effect that they brought back was
the best. The best.
The one practical. Oh yeah.
I was watching the movie in a fairly crowded theater, and it got to that part and like there was a tear or two where I was like, that's what that's supposed to be like.
there is some magic in the movie. I thought that it was handled really well. I really liked it.
I really liked it as well. And I was glad that I had a movie that I could be happy about after being so absolutely disappointed in Justice League. I was glad that it was like, oh, thank God, there's a movie that I actually enjoyed. and then I saw Shape of Water the week after. It's great. Loved it.
Awesome.
I saw a lot of movies over Christmas break. And I think that was going to be on the list, but we didn't catch that one yet. So
I believe it's in wide release now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right.
Yeah, because it was at Main Art, right?
No, I actually saw it at MJR.
Ooh.
I saw it on the day you could see it at MJR. I saw it like on a Friday early afternoon matinee.
Nice.
Yeah.
How many people were there?
There was more people than I thought there would be.
Okay.
There was
more fun at MJR.
God damn it. Don't.
You're a clapper, aren't you?
Alex is a huge clapper.
Oh,
really?
He knows all the words as we're pulling into the parking lot. He's singing along. Oh, yeah.
No.
Yeah. So I, when it comes back around, I do clap. The first time I don't, I just let him do it. By the second time, I'm all in.
I'm all in for that second
when
time.
When we went and saw It.
Now, I'm not a clapper, right. But...
And Jen... I don't think she's a clapper. I think she's a clapper when she knows it's going to bother me.
You get wrapped up.
Well, so she... My mom is a clapper.
Oh, his mom is definitely a clapper.
My mom is like the one... Like, when you hear people clapping in unison, and then 98% of everyone stopped... And there's people still going.
That's his mom.
My mom is in that group. My mom is a clapper. She fucking loves clapping.
She does. She really, really does. So we're at It. And
Hanson leans over to me the moment that song starts. And she's like, dusting off her hands.
Rubbing well, you guys, together. I believe that you guys had talked about it when I went outside. To see if anyone had shown up for transmissions. And I go back in and like it's like the final preview or whatever. And then that comes on and I just see you look over and I see you like do the nod in slow motion. And I was like, God damn it. And then come on. Oh God, I can't remember.
It's a real hot time.
Yeah. And I had my hand in my face. Oh, God, I hate that song.
You hate Joy.
I do. I hate Joy. I want to stomp Joy. I am no doubt the Grinch, okay? Instead of my heart growing three times big, it actually shrunk a little more during that song.
I think there's a clip of the Grinch in that.
Huh. Well, there's more. It's more fun.
Oh, God, no. I think it's Cat in the Hat.
There is a Cat in the Hat one. Yep.
But you're right. I think
that
there,
dystopian
I think there might be
nightmare.
A Grinch. Yeah. Yeah. That. Oof.
That is an oof.
So one thing that I did on my unexpected couple week vacation, or my contract got terminated a little earlier than I thought it would. I saw on Netflix this weekend that Planet Earth 2 was out.
Yes, Catherine has been watching it.
And I watched the whole thing in like a day and a half.
It's so good.
It's great.
Planet Earth is like one of my favorites.
And it was just, it was crazy. Like one of the things that I liked was that you don't really see a whole lot of animals get killed. That's one of my least favorite parts of nature shows. It's like, oh, like, look, I get that the pride has to eat and shit, but like, I don't want to see them killing this gazelle and then tearing it to pieces. No thanks. So luckily in this one, it was just like all the epic fails of the animal kingdom. You know, I think that you see a fox catch a mouse, but like all you really see is the feet kicking out of the mouth where you're like, well, that could be anything. Yeah. That could just be a really animated banana.
He's
for
just
all we
keeping
know.
That banana warm.
Yeah.
With his mouth music.
But yeah, I just, they actually had it in 4K. So I was like,
oh shit.
Done and done.
Do you have to pay more for 4K services?
I think
it's
$2 a month.
Nice.
So yeah, it's not a lot. And they have, well, everything they make is in 4K, except for some of their animated things aren't. But like I don't really need Big Mouth in 4K. Sorry, guys. But, you know, I mean, all their live action stuff is 4K. So, and they've got, I think at least 50 shows and comedy specials and stuff. So they've got a lot of stuff. And then they have things like Breaking Bad is in 4K.
Wow.
And I think so's Better Call Saul. I don't know why those two are the only two in 4K, but yeah, I think they have more stuff than Amazon Prime does, and I don't think Hulu has anything in 4K. So
I don't think so.
Yeah, so I'm a 4K snob. I can't help it. Can't help it.
Eric, you said you went to see some movies, but I don't think we got your.
Oh yeah.
Unless going to the movies is what you're into.
It's not necessarily what I'm into, but. What did I see? I saw the Three Billboards.
Oh,
I've heard very
Jen Hansen loved that.
I enjoyed it very much. It was a little, it wasn't tonally exactly what I expected from the previews, but I liked what I got anyway. Saw that, saw Star Wars twice, saw The Greatest Showman. I have a wife, and I enjoyed it though. Actually, it was like to fulfill the desire to just see just a shit ton of movies while we were off.
Yeah,
that helped.
So you know, you can tell us you went to go see Pitch Perfect 3, right?
Actually, I didn't. That was the one that Deanne saw with Ben, and I did not because I was staying home playing Battlefront. Star Wars Battlefront 2.
Okay. All right.
And
how is it?
It is.
I heard they had to patch the shit out of it.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. I just started playing it. So I went through it, and I'm just a campaign guy, right? So.
Yeah, I'm not doing multiplayer.
The campaign that came with it, I knew it would be shorter, which would be perfect for me. And it was. And just being in the midst of The Last Jedi, it was totally. It was hitting all the right notes for me. And then I don't know if it was the version that I got or not, but there's a second campaign. I don't know if that was a DLC that just came with what I got. But anyway, I'm playing in the supplemental campaign right now, and
nice. It's
fun. There's a bit of a, oh, my God, did this just tell me a big hunk of information that we all wonder about the canon, and then at the end of the first campaign, and then you get in the second one, you're like, oh, no, it didn't. But other than that.
I did like that the Last Jedi was basically like, yeah, we're not going to have any mystery boxes.
Yeah.
We're just going to casually just tell you everything.
Yes. I don't want to go down another rat hole about that.
I get it. But
what I was going to say instead, though, is before I got the text from you today, I had seen, and I was wondering if you guys had seen the show, The Toys That Made Us.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
yeah.
The last episode of Matters of the Universe, we watched the He-Man one.
I just watched it right before you texted me.
Unbelievable, right?
I was like, I can't
bananas.
Believe
it.
Yeah. $400 million to $7 million in 1 year.
That was cool. Yeah. Well,
not
until
for them.
That, yeah.
Well,
not for them.
Them getting drunk and naming everything was my
favorite. Yeah.
And just like how they made the backstory, they were like.
I love how when they were making Stinkor, they added those smell capsules into the plastic and it made everybody sick and no one wanted to go into the factory
That's nuts.
Yeah, that's pretty crazy.
I skipped the Barbie one. I mean,
I haven't watched the Barbie one, but I watched all the others.
Yeah, the Star Wars was great. Mm-hmm. And
The G.I. Joe was really great, too.
Yep.
I thought that was really interesting.
Yep.
And it seems like they had a lot of the same issues that the He-Man people kind of ended up running into. I loved how the top selling one was the one that they thought was a throwaway.
Yeah.
where Snake they eyes. Were, yeah, where they, you know, they're putting paint and all this stuff on all of them and adding like belts and all these things. And they're like, oh, we got one left. Eh, just spray paint it black. No one will care. And it ends up being the number one seller, which was Snake Eyes. Yeah, which everyone thought was so cool. And then like hearing people like, you know, they have those people that were like toy collectors and stuff talking about it where they were like, he's a fucking ninja dressed in all black. Of course he's the coolest one.
Sure.
He doesn't talk.
Boba Fett factor, man. Hmm? Boba Fett factor.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not that he doesn't talk, but he does.
And he had like two katanas. I loved Snake Eyes. Snake Eyes was the coolest. That episode.
He had a fucking wolf as a pet.
That episode of G.I. Joe where Snake Eyes and who is the Cobra?
Storm Shadow.
Storm Shadow have to work together
mm-hmm.
is an all-timer. That's one of the best episodes of G.I. Joe.
Mm-hmm.
There's a comic. My Chad Gates, who's been on the show mm-hmm. a couple times, was buying the G.I. Joe comic, like the adult comic.
Uh-huh. Oh, so not the one that was made by Marvel.
Not the one that was made by Marvel.
Okay.
I think it was an indie. And it was like how everybody had left Cobra Commander. And Cobra Commander's like, you fucking idiots. You better get back with me right now. And they're like, no. And Destro's like, no way. And everybody, the Baroness, everybody's like, no. And he's like, all right. Here he is. Storm Shadow comes out, and everybody's like, oh, shit! He ends up, like, killing people left and right and just being a badass. And it's like, oh, that's right. I boxed and carted and bagged my comics during the break, which I'd never done before.
I have 95% of my... Well, of my actual, like, comics, because you get comics, whereas mostly I get trades. But the comics that I have are all bagged and boarded. And I did that for a lot of my trades. But then I ran out of bags, and it was like,
nope,
I can't do it.
We'll see you next time. anything else? I just don't want to cut it too short.
I'm good.
No, I can't think of anything off the top of my head.
You can get in contact with the show at Matters Pod on Twitter and Matters Pod on Facebook. Individually, I am at Matt Noss on Twitter.
I'm at Karate Dracula on Twitter.
At Eric Hankey, nope. Spelled exact. Yep. Nope. Okay.
Thank you so much. And thank you, Eric. For
it's my pleasure.
Thanks, Eric. For being here.
Thanks for having me.
We didn't make you watch a terrible TV show.
Didn't make you watch a terrible TV show. I don't know how to not do this awkwardly, so I'll just embrace the awkwardness. We would love to have you as much as you would like to come.
Yes. We miss you.
We miss you.
And I miss you too.
We love having you here. And when we're off mic, I can tell you all the things that we're going to be doing for Gabber Media.
Oh.
And also all the help that I need to get Matters on Gabber Media, because it's still not.
Oh, okay.
And also to get the sweet drops for this so I can edit the show.
Oh, that's right. Okay. Yeah,
I don't have any of that fun stuff. But we'll save that for another episode of Matters.
The Strain.
It's still The Strain.
It's, yeah, that's what it is.
Bye.
His name is Matt. His name is Matt. And that's all that matters.
It was a solid try.
Hey, everybody. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of Matters. This is Matt here. Just wanted to tell you about something cool that our website is doing. We've joined up with my good friend Bob, who's actually on the microphone right now.
Hello, everyone.
And Bob has a wonderful... if you're in southeastern Michigan, you need to check this thing out. It is the 11th year of the snow day. I got to hand it over to Bob to tell you a little bit about it. But Gabber Media, which houses Matters, which houses Roach Coach and Transmission from the Dark Side, all of the shows that you know and love, were
We're dedicating materials, swag, if you will, the opportunity to be a guest on Matters. It's very exciting. So I'll throw it to Bob. Bob, what is Snow Day?
We are a 26-hour improv comedy marathon at the Go Comedy Theater in Ferndale. And what we do is we put on a 26-hour festival to raise money for basically some local, really great local charities, like the Gilda House of Detroit, the Tim Hayden Memorial Scholarship Fund. And this year, we're also dedicating some of the money to the Diana George J. Coakes Endowment Fund, which is a memorial fund that it was set up for the co-founder of Snow Day, Pete J. Coakes' mother, who passed away, we lost last year. It's a fund that helps with the school district that she worked in. So 100% of the profits is going to charities that help people who are dealing with cancer or who have lost folks, or, you know, just it's money into the community. And, you know, we're hoping to put on a great show for good causes.
So if I'm coming this time, mm-hmm. do I have to stay for all 26 hours?
No.
I wanted to ask the dumbest question.
No, that's sure, cool.
to make sure that I knew.
You're welcome to. But we actually have the night divided into blocks. Like the more, you know, the easier blocks to go to, of course. Like so the doors open at 7. Show starts at 8 on January 13th. It's a Saturday. So that first block is, you know, it's only like 2 hours long. And then we go into another 2-hour block, and then throughout the night, when we get into like the 4 a.m. type area, the blocks become longer because that's like traditionally a harder time to fill a house. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah. But you know what? Honestly, not that it's been a full house, but we've kind of figured out ways to make sure that there's always an audience for the performers, you know.
Do you have any special guests coming this year?
We do. We have this really cool troupe. They're called Damaged Goods.
I love those guys. They come to the Improv Festival every year.
They've been to every DIFF. That's the Detroit Improv Festival, as far as I can remember. And they are, and I've seen them at other festivals. They are high energy. They're a lot of fun. And they're just really good dudes. And when I ask them if they want to come up, yeah, they're donating their time. They're not asking us for any travel costs or anything like that. And then they're going to put on an hour show, and it's going to be amazing. 10:30 on Saturday.
So 10:30 Saturday.
10:30 on Saturday.
Okay, and that is January 13th.
Yeah. We also have a couple acts coming up from Cincinnati, some newer troops. They're going to be on a little bit later in the night. And from what I've seen in Cincinnati, I've been into their festival a couple times. That's going to be a great show, too. So
this is super fun.
Yeah. And like, again, like this, all great people just coming up and volunteering their time, you know, like that. These are all wonderful people just donating their time. It's just, I think it's really cool. You know, that's what I like about being an improviser. Like, everybody takes care of each other.
And we here at Matters are excited to tell you that Matt and I will be joined by the amazing Jen Hansen and be doing a live performance of Transmissions from the Dark Side Sunday, January 14th at 2 p.m. And you can come and see us live. Boy, oh boy, if you love live podcasts, we're going to give you one.
you.gocomedy.net. But if you can't make it and you still want to support or help or you just like my story, you can go to /donate. And it's just a PayPal account that we set up, and it goes, you know, again, 100% of the profits, all the money goes to those three charities. And they're all, you know, great charities.
Yeah, that's awesome. And we'll have the link to that as well on gabbermedia.com. And it'll be in our posts on Facebook as well. Bob, thank you so much.
Oh, thank you for having me.
Of course. Bye.